Mr. Lewandon, rail 38. So you were talking about the process of demob and coming back.
Oh yeah, we came out on orders and we were told to get all that told to hand all that stuff in. And what certain amount of stuff we handed in where we were, and then we were taken from there to Sri Lanka, and. When we got to Salonika, there were some more, it wasn't just me and Bill Ward, it was, there was some more 28s that had come with us, and I knew some of them, he was the only sergeant, Bill Ward, and when we got to Salonika, we were hanging around there. We knew it was going to be a boat, and then all of a sudden we got the shout to go to get on this. Well, it wasn't a troop ship, it was quite a small boat really, but like a big, like a small, I'd call it a small troop ship really, but it wasn't anything very much bigger size. And we went from there, we got on that boat there, and we went to, down to Athens. When we got to the Piraeus there, we went in. I was surprised really, because we went right into the Bay of Piraeus, and that's, right to the dock. And I was a bit surprised there, because I thought that we were going to stop on that boat, you see. And then after a while, I could see, and I thought about it, I thought, well, I can see now why we didn't. But because we needed to get on a bigger boat. Because we'd only done a little bit of the journey, with no distance. So we then got off that boat, and we went on to another one. And then that's where I lost Bill Ward then, because he came with me, and we both got on the same boat, but that was a much bigger one. That was a much bigger trip. That was a troop ship. And he came with me, but I don't know why we got separated somehow, and I never really saw him again until we were out on the open sea, and then he'd been well away from me. He was in the boat anyway. I did see him again after that. But when we got on this second boat at Athens, we were given the cabin. There were two bunks in each cabin. There were two bunks in each cabin. There was me and a petty officer in the Navy. He came in, this one with me. He was being demobbed. And he'd been stationed in Athens, in Port of Piraeus there. Anyway, because I had a naval detachment in there, he said. Anyway, he came in with me, and he stayed. He was with me for the whole voyage, because that was the last boat that we were on. We went from Athens, and the next time we got off the boat was at Toulon in the south of France. That took us right the way round to Toulon. And that's, we got off the boat at Toulon. And he was with me, in the cabin with me all the time, from Athens just to Toulon.
And then what happened?
Oh, we kept together, more or less. I got friendly with him. And he was a gambling man. And he was part and parcel of a gambling Cameron School, and he used to be there every night, you know. He was very successful too, but anyway, nice chap. I've got a friendly with him, and he said to me when he first came in, he said, I'd like to have Graham Cars, he said, would you mind very much if we had a short session in here and in the evenings? I said, he said, you could join in if you wanted to. He said, well, by all means. I said, oh, I don't want to. I said, if it's all the same to you, I said, I'll see if you can find somewhere else for you. You know, well, he said, that's all right. And he never bothered me. He never tried it. He went off somewhere, out down the corner, somewhere. He found somewhere. But he was nice chap.
Was it a dry ship then, or was it? Were you able to get alcohol on it?
No. There was everything was on there.
So there was bars and things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, so it was a good day, a good mess there. You couldn't wander. It was a good trip, really. I enjoyed that very much.
So when you got to France, did you...
Well, when we got there, we got to Toulon, off the boat, and he said to me... This guy said to me, Tom, his name was, I don't know what Tom, he said, Mom, he said, we should be together until we get to Cali, but he said, after that, he said, I don't suppose I should see much of you. So we stayed overnight in Toulon, one night, got off the boat, and we went into transit there for one night. And I went out with him that night and went out a drink somewhere. And then we were put on the train next morning and sent up to Cali. So we travelled up. We had a couple of days on, about 2.5 days on the train. Certainly 2 nights anyway. About 2.5 days, I reckon. We got to Cali, and then we had to start. We had all sorts of things to do there. We had to hand some documents in, and collect some more documents, and some various bits of kit in. Collect, change all our money. Into English money, I mean. We had several things to do at Cali, and so we were there for a night. We got to Cali about midday, and we were there that night, and during the evening we had to go and do all these various things. Is there a roll load out? Ever so well like that. You went from one place to another, you know. You weren't overcrowded, there weren't that many of you. And the only trouble was you had to, whatever kit you had to sort of take it with you because there was nowhere to leave it. If you see what I mean, if you had a bag of this, or some of them were using kit bags and some were using the big pack stock you got. They were all using all sorts of things, but whatever you had to cart it around with it.
Had you brought anything back from Greece, any?
No, nothing really. Nothing of any size. I made use of the kit bag. I didn't use all of the kit bag. I mean, I only used about half of it. I made use of the kit bag because I knew that sooner or later I could always get rid of that. Places like Aldershot, wherever it was, I didn't know where we were going. So. But we went to, as I say, we got to Cali, and we did all as much as we had to do there. And then the next day we had to car crossed to Dover. The next morning, we did a certain amount of things overnight. The next morning, we had some more things to do. So that what we were given, the next morning we were given our leave passes. We'd already changed our money. Leave passes, some documents that we had to have, ration book, and a rail ticket to take you to where you live. We had all that the next morning. So when we left, by the time we left Cali, we had everything we wanted. We didn't really need anything else. We didn't have any more papers to collect or sign or nothing like that. Up to that stage, we were right up straight. So the next step was, we were at Dover, and they took us by the trucks to Aldershot. And I'd never been to Aldershot before, because Aldershot is, of course, an army town, isn't it? Like Bedford used to be. Anyway, we got to Aldershot, and that was in the afternoon sometime. We didn't have anything to do there that day. Oh no, we had the opportunity there to anything that we locked aside. I bought the kit bag to carry whatever it was I had. In my case, it was tins of fags or whatever. If you wanted to get rid of anything, next to that, you could do it at Aldershot. Because when we left Aldershot, that would be in the afternoon, the next afternoon, we only had one night at Aldershot, you see. And we went to, it was in the afternoon, that's right. And they said, oh, well, you'll be going to get your clothes, demob stuff tomorrow at Woking. And so they said, you'll be going there in the morning. So I said, you can do what you like now. And they said, well, if you, anything you want to get rid of, do it. And ask questions first and find out about it, do it. So that when you leave here tomorrow to go to Woking, you haven't got anything. Anything you don't want, you've got rid of it, and that's it. See? So there was no problem really. So I didn't know. I sort of had a mooch around in the evening. I didn't think much of Aldershot. It's typical army place. And anyway, we went back and had one night at Aldershot. The next morning, we went on the trucks to Woking, and we'd already had our leave passes and everything, so everything, had everything we wanted. So we just went there to get our clothing.
And how did that happen? What happened? How did that? How was that?
This place of Woking was like a big, biggest place. It was they had all this stuff. It was specially built for that, and there was all these ranges of suits and trilbies and flannels and sports jackets, and it wasn't a great selection, as you might say, but it was just there, and you could just take your pick, and nobody bothered you. You were just shown where to go. And if you had any questions to ask them, they used to have a staff there, and they'd tell you what you could do and what you couldn't do, what you could take and that sort of thing. And that was it.
So what sort did you get then?
I personally went for a pair of flannels, a pair of grey flannels and a sports jacket. That's all I got. And if you wanted to, if by any chance you hung on, you'd have waited, kept your grey coat, for instance, the army coat, grey coat. If you wanted to get rid of it, that was the place to get rid of it. You just put it down on the inner heap and that's it. But that's it, you know, it was again a kind of question of getting rid of what you didn't want to keep.
Were you pleased with the circular?
Oh, yeah, it's quite good, yeah. I think a lot of people went for that because it was sort of a casual sort of dress and, you know, it didn't really matter what colour tie you had on when you got that, you know.
Were most people happy with the quality of the suits, do you think?
Oh, yeah, I would
like. There weren't any people grumbling in the queue that you were in?
No, not really. No, you used to get one or two you used to say about the size of the hats and the trilbies and that sort of thing, but I didn't want a trilby. I finished wearing hats, you know.
So you got your suit, you were still wearing your uniform?
Oh, yeah. You still had your boots on, you see, and
so when you left this place, you were still in your army uniform?
Yeah.
Carrying the suit, I suppose.
Yeah, and you put it in a box for you, and it was the old square cardboard box, the old telltale thing. Everybody used to see them, you know, used to see them walking around. We spotted them on the station when we got off the trucks and coming out and going into Woking Station, you know, all carrying there.
Yeah. Other veterans have talked about SPIVs operating, trying to buy the suits off you at the station.
No,
is there anything like that where you
were? I wouldn't. I didn't, to me. No, I don't. I'm not. I wouldn't dispute it. I wouldn't dispute it, but I think it's a possibility, but I never.
Was there any kind of formal goodbye from the army then? Once you got your suit, was there any?
No.
There's no kind of handshake or?
Well, not really. Well, I suppose, depending who you were with. Really.
No, but there was no kind of senior officer that would.
Oh, no.
Gather you together in a
unless the only thing there was if you. Maybe you had reason to ask a question. Maybe there was something you wanted to know and you spotted somebody. Captain or a major standing there looking important sort of thing. Obviously one of the staff, and you possibly go and ask him a question. He'd tell you the answer and then he'd wish you the best of luck and so forth. That was about the only thing you didn't really know. The thing was, you didn't really know them. You didn't really care very much, and I decided anyway.
So you got your suit and you left Woking, had you a job to go do?
Yeah, I was going to go back to that firm down in, well, it's not there now, it's just, it will be knocked down, the paper mill, Dickinson's paper mill.
Where you worked before the war. And had you been in touch with your employer at all while you were in the army?
Yeah.
So you'd written to your employer while you were in the army?
Oh yeah, I'd always been in touch with them. And, they were, you know, most of the people around here, I mean, in Hemel really, have been employed there, and they were more or less the same as me. There were some who didn't go back, of course, but in the main, most of them did go back.
So you weren't worried about employment prospects?
Well,
you knew you'd be able to get that job?
I knew I'd have got to go. I only had to go back and report. You know. Well, I had this DMOB leave to see through and so on.
How long was that?
Well, I'll forget now. It would have been over 4 years. I would have gone over the 4 year mark because I'd been abroad 3 years and 10 months when I got my leave, so you can add another year, nearly another year onto that, because I mean, my next stop was Greece, wasn't it? And then just joined the first battalion. So that was, you can add another year onto that, more or less. So I had a fair amount of leave to come.
Now, when you started, did you go back to your old job, specifically to your old job, or to something different?
No, I didn't really. I don't think there were that many of us that did, to be quite honest, because things had changed a bit. They changed a bit, quite a lot, actually. They'd, at some stage during the war, they'd gone on to munitions. Of course, they weren't doing that anymore because there wasn't any need. But as I say, it was a different picture altogether when we came back. And it was more or less a case of, it's almost like making a fresh start. Except that you knew about the place, you know, because it was a big place, you know. I mean, there's nothing of it left now. They've been knocking it down by stages. And,
did you find it easy to adjust back to being a civilian?
It was a bit difficult at first, I thought. Although I wasn't any age, I mean, after all, I was only, what would I have been, about 26, I suppose, and 26, 27. But, this place hadn't changed. I mean, the town hadn't changed very much since I'd been away, and there wasn't any talk then of having a new town here or anything like that. We didn't even know, nobody even guessed that was ever going to happen, you know. But,
in what ways do you think you had changed through your experiences?
Well, I think people that must have, you know, the war made people think differently, and they were looking in pre-war days, you know, they were quite happy with what was going on here, and there were so many people. I mean, they employed nearly 4,000 people down here pre-war, and that was, of course, the war made people think differently. You meet different people, and they will tell you things, and then you find out about this and that. I think they found that it was a bit more difficult to get a happy band together than it used to be. Maybe people were expecting too much too soon, I don't know. I didn't know. I thought perhaps it would probably work out all right, but I didn't think. I thought it was a bit, in some respects, it was a bit slow. Nothing was very much happening here, and what changes that were made down at the paper mill there, some of them hadn't been for the best, and in some cases, you know, there were a lot of people who hadn't possibly come out of it as well as they might have done. We should never really know the answer to that. I thought it'd be okay, given time. I didn't have too many commitments myself, so my mother and father were still alive. That was all, you know, all my family were all right.
You mentioned your brother Philip right at the start of the interview. What happened to him during the war?
Well, he had an easy war. The hardest part for him was getting back from Dunkirk, because he was sent aboard. He was sent over, like a lot more, you know, over to Dunkirk, and expeditionary force, I called it, didn't I? He was one of them, and then of course, when he came back, he was the same as a lot more than me, like that RSM I met for the first battalion. He was floating around for a long time. My brother was he didn't have a unit really, and he was spending a lot of time in transit and that sort of thing. But he wasn't the only one. There were loads of them like that. And I personally thought that was a. They were a bit. They never really got hold of that situation. I thought that they could have probably put that, got them together more, and you know, found a unit for them somewhere. You know, we certainly needed. They weren't all. I mean, my brother was artillery, but they weren't all artillery. I mean, there was infantry people as well. There was all sorts, and I would have thought it wouldn't have been too difficult to do a family unit for them. But they seemed to take such a long time over it. I mean, during that period, that was in my early days in the army, and I was more or less at Bedford. And we used to read about it. We used to hear about it and that sort of thing, but couldn't do nothing about it. But our life was all down there on paper, and we knew exactly what we were going to do and when we were going to do it. And it seemed so different to them. You know, they came back from Dunkirk. And they seemed to float around, and it seemed like for ages. And eventually, what they did with my brother was they created a light anti-aircraft battery on the coast of Cornwall, basically viewed. And I found some more people like my brother who'd been trained for that, and sent them down there and created this unit, and that's where they were at Bude, and that's where they stayed for the duration of the war. They never moved, and he had a wonderful time, because I mean, they were never, I mean, we weren't troubled with enemy aircraft, not then, the were for a spell, but he told me, he said, he was almost boring, really. The only trouble was he was so far away from home, which of course he was at the far end of Cornwall. But he got a fairly early demob. He was demobbed before I was. And then of course he was called before I was, because he was went at the outbreak of war. Being a territorial, he went at the outbreak of war.
So in comparison, was there any kind of feeling of maybe that you were unlucky having been posted to an infantry regiment?
Well, I was unlucky in that respect, yeah. I was unlucky in that respect, but then, you know, really, you see, that was where we were so thin on the ground. I mean, we were, you know, if the Germans had carried over, they'd have just walked right over us. We had nothing yet. You know, I don't know how the hell we got away with it, really. I think that's my considered opinion anyway, because from what I could see, I mean, especially after Dunkirk, I mean, there were thousands of people who were and you can say thousands, in one way or another at Dunkirk, and they were coming, they were just being ferried across the channel and going anywhere, and nobody, they were just, well, what can you call them? They were just spare files, really. There wasn't anything like what we went into.
Now, you'd returned to civilian life. Did you get involved with your comrades association?